Before you today, in appreciation of your mercy, kindness, faithfulness, and goodness, we thank you so much for making us your own people, leading us, guiding us, feeding us, supporting us, directing us. We thank you for all the things you are revealing to us, through which we have understanding of your purpose and your will, in such a way that the confusers, deceivers of the world are unable to mislead us. Thank you for the illumination of your word. Thank you for the encouragement we receive therein. Thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, as we come to study today, you know exactly what our lives need. We want to hear not just words, but words that come from your heart. Words that will benefit our lives. Words that will make us who we ought to be. Words that will prepare us to be victorious. Speak to us. That which we need to hear, tell us. The grace to receive your word with the determination to do your will. Father, please give unto us.
Amen.
We love you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We have been studying about the tabernacle of Moses. Like you know, we have studied now for 6 weeks, this one being the seventh one. You remember that it wasn't long after we started the study before we started the construction work going on here, and I'm sure you believe me that as a child of God, I will not play with lie. I did not know we are going to start building here where we started the study. But I thank God for the grace he gave me to tell you when we started the study that it was not my plan for this time. I've already prepared the topic we are going to study, thinking that we'll start the new study. But it was on the first of last month when we had a prayer conference, and I suddenly saw myself without any preparation telling you some important things about the tabernacle of Moses. And by the time I finished, I just knew in my spirit that we have to start to study immediately about the tabernacle of Moses. And we started the study. One or 2 weeks after, I realized that this project had to start. No, it has been in my heart for years that we are going to build. But I never knew we will start it this time. By the time I saw the way the work is going and the study we are having, I could see an agreement. And I came to the conclusion that the real pastor of this church, the real pastor of this church is not living in Obaole or Karaole. He said, "Who are you?" "I'm an under shepherd working under him, and he knows the way he wants to do his work." No, he has surprised me like that many times, and I'm expecting more of such pleasant surprises. Settle it in your heart that God planned it, that we'll be building and we'll be studying about God's building that the Bible talks about. I think this should help you to pay more attention and receive this as the word of God. So when we started the study, we said that the tabernacle of Moses was a major subject of the Bible, occupying more space than any other single subject that the Bible talks about. We said that up to 7 times it is repeated in the Bible that Moses was to build according to the pattern shown unto him on the mountain. The second week, then we said anybody that will build anything for God must endeavor to know the pattern shown in the Bible and build accordingly. The second week, we studied about the provisions for the tabernacle of Moses. We said God told Moses that he should tell the children of Israel to bring him offerings and prepare to build him a sanctuary that he may dwell among them. We said God did not tell Moses to ask for such offerings from the people living around them, but the children of Israel. Though at this time they were not walking, they were traveling from Egypt going to Canaan, God still expected them to bring offerings so that they will build the sanctuary. And we said, in the same way, anybody that will do any work for God today, the acceptable way, must not demand for resources to do the work from non-believers, but only from the children of God, the members of the church. And that such offerings must be collected from only those who will give it willingly with their hearts. We also said that the children of God must be prepared for God from whatever they have. Because however small or big what we have are, they were given to us by God himself. When they were leaving Egypt, God told them to demand from the Egyptians gold and silver and some other things. And it was part of these he later demanded they should use to build a sanctuary for him. And we then said that the things that are in our possessions today and more that God will still make available to us are actually given to us by God with the plan that a time will come that part of it will be returned to him to do his work. After this, we studied about the construction of the tabernacle of Moses. We talked about where it was built, the time it was built, and the people used to build it, and how it was built. As for the time, we said it was built after the children of Israel had been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb from Egypt. We said that though God had relationship with many people before this time, he did not demand from any of them to make him a sanctuary. But he did not promise to live with any of them until he has used the blood of the Lamb to redeem the children of Israel from Egypt. We said the tabernacle was not built in Egypt, but was built in the wilderness. And that the people God used to build it were specially prepared for that purpose. Bezalel, a holier and wise-hearted people. There are so many things we explain about it that I don't feel like repeating this time. And for how it was built, though these people were said to be wise-hearted, God did not allow them to build according to their own wisdom or understanding. But he said they must build everything according to the pattern shown not unto them, but unto Moses on top of the mountain. And that everybody doing anything for God in the church must be prepared to follow the pattern shown unto the leadership of the church concerning the work of God. After this, we study about the structure of the tabernacle of Moses. We said it was a simple architectural design having three parts: the court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. We said an ordinary Israelite could enter only the court and through the only entrance, the gates, and that the priests were the ones permitted to enter into the holy place, and that they could do every day. But the Holy of Holies was reserved for only the high priest, who was to enter only once in a year on the Day of Atonement. After this, we studied about the furniture. I beg your pardon. Yeah, the furniture of the tabernacle. This was the last topic we studied, and we have studied it for 2 weeks. We said there were 7 furniture in the tabernacle: the altar of burnt offering, the laver, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, and the ark and the mercy seat. I repeat, the altar of burnt offering, the laver, the candlestick, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, the ark, and the mercy seat. So, 2 weeks ago, we started to study about this furniture. We took the furniture in the outer court. Firstly, there were 2 in number: the altar of burnt offering, or you call it the altar of sacrifice, and also the laver. Now, the altar of burnt offering was the first thing one will see as one enters into the tabernacle of Moses. As you enter the court, you are confronted with the brazen altar of sacrifice. And we said that it represents the cross of Jesus, where he offered himself as a sacrifice to God. And we said that anybody that will not have anything to do with the cross of Jesus, we surely cannot enter into any form of relationship with the Almighty God. And that immediately you leave the brazen altar of burnt offering, the next thing is the laver. Leva is Agbadaide. Agbadaide. It was made of brass, pure brass. In it, water was poured for the priest to wash their hands and their legs before walking at the brazen altar of burnt offering and also before entering into the holy place. No priest was permitted to walk at the altar or to enter into the holy place without first washing his hands and feet at the brazen altar of burnt offering. Last week, we were to look at the furniture inside the holy place. But the way I took the teaching, or the way the Holy Ghost led me, whichever way you put it, I could not even touch that. I have to reemphasize some of the things we had studied, especially about the brazen altar of burnt offering and also the liver. I have to explain that as a sinner, one gets to the cross, he will be saved through the sacrifice of Jesus that he did over 2,000 years ago. But after that, one will still need to be part of the next experience that has to do with the liver, which deals with purity. And we said one will need to receive purity of heart to be able to enter into the holy place and full relationship with God. I explained that it's common for churches, pastors, who preach sound salvation, their new salvation, who are children of God, to say that once you are saved, you have everything. As if you are sanctified, you are saved. But I said, this tabernacle of Moses is another evidence that after salvation, one will still need to receive purity of heart before one can enter into full relationship with God. That was the emphasis I was trying to make last week, and because of which I spent all the time emphasizing and re-emphasizing that if there is any of us still doubting about the need for purity of heart after being saved, this is another thing that should remove that doubt so that we believe the word of God in truth. Today, by the grace of God, God will surely help me. We are going to look at the furniture inside the holy place. Everybody say furniture inside the holy place. They are majorly three. Number one, I said number one, the candlestick. Number two, the way you answer, Abela ko, opafitila, candlestick. Now, opa Abela, yo kuje, but mokwe ni opafitila. No Bible, opafitila no okwe. The Bible calls it in Yoruba, opafitila, but the English says candlestick. Candlestick in Yoruba is supposed to be opa Abela. But it's not Opa Abela. I told you that if you read from Greek, from the Hebrew that was used to write the Old Testament originally, you will see that material does not have holes for candles. Rather, holes into which they pour olive oil. So the light there uses olive oil and not candle. I said why we have candlestick in our popular translation, King James, is because at the time that translation of the Bible was produced, candle was widely used in Britain. And therefore, when you are talking about light, the first thing that comes to mind was candle. But later translators corrected that error by using lampstand. And I don't know how many times I will need to tell us that when we say there is error in a translation, it doesn't mean the Bible contains error. My Bible is free of error. No error of any kind. But you need to understand that when we talk about that, tomorrow you may be reading your Bible and come across typographical error, punctuation error. I don't know if you will not call some errors grammatical errors. Because, for example, King James was written with 17th century English. Whosoever believeth. If a child will write that in school today, they will fail him for making grammatical error. So you may meet error. That doesn't mean the Bible contains error. When we say the Bible, we are not talking about the translation in your hand. We are talking about the original manuscript, the one written by the original writers, are error free. You say, where are they now? You can't find them anywhere in the world. All the original manuscripts have perished because of the lifespan of the materials used in writing them. And therefore, if you go to museums in Britain, in America, in Russia, in Jerusalem, you can see ancient copies that were copied from the original. Now, the one that is totally error-free was the original copy. So what about the ancient copy? Some people copied that. The original writers were under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that prevents error. But those who later copy were human beings who could make mistake. So then, how are we sure they don't make serious mistake that are carried over to other copies that are in our hands now? You have many of them. And that was why comparison was done by translators before they were able to translate. They have to compare this with this, with this, with this, and be sure they narrow themselves to what was most likely to be the correct thing. Also, since language is a living thing, it continues to change. And therefore, what is used for something today may not be used for it tomorrow. For example, those who have Yoruba Bible, the old Yoruba translations will call room Iyewu. Whereas the Yoruba of today will call it Iyara. But the one Ajayi Crowder, the original translator, wrote was Iyewu. Now, the old translation will tell you Ofunfunbi is snow, as white as snow. But we don't have snow in our land, so we don't know what is snow. The later translations say Ofunfunbi Egbonwu, as white as wool, because we have wool here. I learned that there is a country where in their language they use Ofunfunbi Egbon, as white as coconut. So go to the original, you won't see coconut. You won't see wool. Translators have to manufacture that so that the readers will understand, because the emphasis is the white. So they use whatever their readers will know to be white to explain what they write. So they don't quote, they don't translate word for word. If they translate word for word, you won't understand. In fact, in some cases, translators will have to introduce words that are not in the original. If they feel that by reading what they say in the original, in your language, you will not get what the original user of the original language, what they will understand, you won't understand. They will add something to make you understand. But if you are a Bible student, you will know that such words are always italicized. So if you are reading your Bible, any italicized word you see in your Bible, the italicization of that word is to tell you that that word was not in the original. It's to tell you that that was included by the translators. What brought me to all of this is that we don't have mistake in the Bible, though we have mistake in the translations we have. And that was because I wanted to say that the candlestick of King James supposed to be lamp stand and not candlestick. But whether candlestick or lampstand, it is talking about providing light in the tabernacle. And it was the only source of light in the holy place. We now go to Exodus chapter 25 to read verses 31 to 39. I start from verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. A beaten work shall the candlestick be made. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bows, his knobs, and his flowers shall be of the same. And six branches shall come out of the size of it. Three branches of the candlestick out of the one side, and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. Three bowls made like unto almonds, with a knob and a flower in one branch, and three bowls made like almonds in the other branch, with a knob and a flower. So in the six branches that come out of the candlestick, and in the candlestick shall be four bowls made like unto almonds, with their knobs and their flowers. And there shall be a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, and a knob under two branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knobs and their branches shall be of the same, and it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. And the tongues thereof, and the snuff dishes thereof, shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was shewed thee in the months. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The simple way of constructing a thing like this with gold will have been to melt the gold, pour it into a mold, and mold it. That's a simple way. But God refused to use that method. He said, Bezalel should take a talent of gold and do a beaten work. Hammer it. Technically, until there will be a shaft in the center. There will be three branches by the left, three branches by the right. And the branches should even be having knobs, flowers, to beautify it. That was not a small task for anybody to do. But with the help of the Holy Ghost, it was so easy for those who did it to do it. From here, we can learn that in doing the work of God, we must not always look for what is easy for man to do. Mm-mm. We must endeavor to know what God says should be done and do it accordingly. Hallelujah. Difficult, not easy. When we decide to do it the way God wants it done, He will make it easy for us, because He will teach us how to do it. Like I've been explaining, the Hebrew word for candlestick is menorah. And the meaning of menorah is lampstand. It was made of pure gold, a central shaft with three branches on each side. They did not have candle socket, but places to put olive oil. It was trimmed and lighted daily. It was placed on the southern side of the sanctuary. It typifies Christ as our light, bringing to us the full radiance of the divine light. It is noteworthy that natural light was shut out from the tabernacle. The candlestick is the only source of light to the tabernacle. In the same way, Jesus is the only light of the world. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Raise your head and look at me. The way the tabernacle was constructed, natural light, daylight, could not penetrate. The archaic boards that were used, this one, to construct the walling of the tabernacle, were so hooked together that there was no spacing. You know, if they were batting together, if they just bring them close to one to another and batting together, the nature of wood is that as it becomes drier, it will be shrinking. Wood shrinks when it is drying, most wood. Only few wood will not shrink. In fact, scarcely is there any wood that doesn't shrink at all. But some shrink more than others. So wood will be shrinking as it is drying. Then after some time, there will be space, gap, between the two that are joined together. Even when you use glue and nail to join together, if you're batting wood together, in most cases, there will be a hole in between that. It may be very tiny. That's why when you go to the village, it's common for village windows to have holes through which the sunlight penetrates. But these boards were grooved and fixed together in such a way that even if it shrinks, light from outside could not penetrate. Because God was using that to tell us something very, very important. And that is the fact that unless this light is there, the place will be total darkness. And that means without the light of Jesus, you cannot see anything. You can't see the glory of God. You can't see the goodness of God. You can't see the provision of God. You cannot see access to the Holy of Holies. You can't fellowship with God. Jesus is the light. Not one of the lights, but the only light. Hallelujah. Do you know that some people bring strange, not only strange fires, but strange lights into what they do? Go to some churches today. Some people use the power of Satan to prophesy to church people. Power of demons. Power of juju. The only illumination that is in the church of God is that of Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Without Jesus, one will be in total darkness. There are religions through which people claim they have relationship with God. I know that with our religion too, we receive revelation from God. There cannot be any revelation from God when Jesus is not there. Yes, there are those who try to follow Jesus through the back door. Say, yeah, we too will believe in Jesus. They have their own Messiah. They make Jesus an attachment to that Messiah. It's also a lie. Jesus is not ready to be part of the Messiah if he is not going to be the only Messiah. Jesus is not ready to be part of the light if he is not going to be the only light that anybody is trusting and is relying upon. The second thing is the table of showbread. Everybody say table of showbread. Say it very well. In Exodus chapter 25, verses 23 to 30, The Bible says, and thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood. 2 cubits shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt make unto it a border of an hand breadth round about. And thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. And thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, and put the rings in the 4 corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, that the table may be borne with them. And thou shalt make the dishes thereof, and spoons thereof, and covers thereof, and bowls thereof to cover with, of pure gold shalt thou make them. And thou shalt set upon the table shewbread before me always. In Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 9. Leviticus chapter 24, verses 5 to 9 says, and thou shalt take fine flour, and bake 12 cakes thereof. 2 tenth deals shall be in 1 cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is the most holy unto him, out of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual stature. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That was how the table was used. This table was made of shittim, akikai wood, overlaid with pure gold. It was placed on the northern side of the holy place and was made to hold 12 loaves of bread, replaced each Sabbath with new loaves. The table of shewbread was a type of Christ as the bread of life, the sustainer of each individual believer priest. In John chapter 6 verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Praise the Lord. Jesus is the bread of life. Through him we have divine nourishment and satisfaction. You know what? You cannot enjoy any goodness of God unless through Jesus. Philippians, you know it, chapter 4 verse 19 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God will supply by Christ Jesus. God will supply through Christ Jesus. You can't get any blessing that is of God unless it comes through Jesus. You say, but there are those who just go to program, they don't give their life to Jesus, and yet they are able to receive miracle. The miracle came through Jesus. Many people in the past and also today have been able to enjoy the goodness of God without giving their life to Jesus. As a taste and see that the Lord is good. They are not going to continue to enjoy the goodness of God. It is given to them temporarily so that they will appreciate Jesus and give their lives to him. If they refuse to give their lives to him, they will not continue to enjoy the goodness of Jesus. Don't let anybody deceive you. There is no religion anywhere that can take you to God and make you to enjoy God. All those people you see in other religions of the world, including the great, great religions of the world, that are not children of God, that are not followers of Jesus, they have no dealings with God. So who then is accepting their worship? Demons. That is why it is major in all these religions to include blood in their worship. There must be blood in form of sacrifice. So what is the work of the blood? To replace the blood of Jesus, which they have rejected by choosing to follow such religion. Christianity is not one of the accepted religions. In fact, it is not a religion. It is the only workshop of God in the world today. Every work God is doing in the world today, through human, he does through the church of Jesus Christ. Anybody who is not a member of the church of Jesus Christ cannot lead anybody to God. Cannot help anybody to accept the goodness of God. Many religions of the world or religious leaders who claim they had contact with God, they could assist people, succeeded in getting a lot of people to their side. But as they continue, you discover that they are only misleading the people they gather to their side. They don't have a way of connecting them with God. The only connection between man and God is Jesus Christ. He's not one of the mediators. He's the only mediator. He's not one of the ways. He's the only way. God said in heaven, they had it on earth, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Jesus himself said before he left the world, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." After the departure of Jesus, the disciples said, they preached, "There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we might be saved." Anybody that will not come to God through Jesus Christ will never get to God. Tell your neighbor.
Anybody that will not come to God through Jesus Christ will never get to God.
Say it again.
Anybody that will not come to God
through Jesus Christ will never get to God. Say it.
Anybody that will come to God.
Some of you are not saying it correctly. Anybody that will not come to God through Jesus
will never get to God.
It doesn't matter how faithful, how committed such a one may be in his choosing religion. The last furniture in the holy place is what, everybody? The golden altar of incense. Everybody say, golden altar of incense.
The golden altar of incense.
It's a picture of it. Hallelujah. The golden altar of incense. We will go to the book of Exodus chapter 30 and read verses 1 to 10. Somebody, okay. Verses 1 to 10. Chapter 30, Exodus, verses 1 to 10. "And thou shalt make an altar to burn incense upon. Of shittim wood shalt thou make it. A cubit shall be the length thereof, and a cubit the breadth thereof. Four square shall be it, shall it be, and two cubits shall be the height thereof. The horns thereof shall be of the same. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, the top thereof, and the sides thereof round about, and the horns thereof, and thou shalt make unto it a crown of gold round about. And two golden rings shalt thou make to it under the crown of it, by the two corners thereof. Upon the two sides of it shalt thou make it, and they shall be for places for the staves to bear it wither. And thou shalt make the staves of sheeting wood, and overlay them with gold, and thou shalt put it before the veil, that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat, that is over the testimony. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Where I will meet thee. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresseth the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. Take note. The atonement that was to be made once in a year is talking about the blood. When the lamb is killed on the day of atonement, the blood will be brought to the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And on the horn, these are the horns. Look at it. This thing are the four corners. Those are the horns. On it, he will sprinkle part of the blood once a year. But the incense burnt here was burnt every day, not once a year. As they came into the Holy of Holies, into the holy place every day, they would light the lampstand and burn incense on it. So this was also made of akikai wood, overlaid with pure gold. And it was placed directly in front of the veil, separating the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Incense was to be burned thereon morning and evening. The altar itself stood for Jesus Christ, and the incense stood for the prayer of believers. Hallelujah. This was not to teach us to be burning incense, but to be praying always to God through the name of Jesus. Shall we go to read some passages? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, to start with. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. By him. By who? I can't hear you. And who is him there? Jesus Christ. We offer sacrifice to God. In Psalm 141, verse number 2, the word of God says here, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Go to Revelation chapter 5, verse number 8, that makes this very clear. Chapter 5, verse 8. And there are three. I beg your pardon. I was supposed to read Revelation. I was reading something else. Chapter 5 and verse 8. Revelation. And when they had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Did you hear that? Instead of incense that the Jew use, what do we use today? Prayer. So we are not taught here through this to be burning incense. You know, in some churches today, they burn incense. If you ask them, where did you get that from? They will read Exodus to you and say, since it was done. And thus they miss the message that God was trying to pass across through the creation of the altar of incense. In Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that came to unto God by him, seeing he ever lived to make intercession for them. In Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, the word of God says, and an angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. You see, our prayers actually goes to God like incense. Then angels are made to add incense to it as it goes to God. If instead of praying today we decide to offer incense, we'll be doing contrary to the instruction of the word of God. And don't forget, the Bible says everything must be done according to the pattern shown unto Moses on top of the mountain. A little deviation, a little adjustment will make the offering to be unacceptable to God. Today, people have manufactured all kinds of things that they are adding to their own brand of Christianity. Have you not heard about people who pray like the Ashanti incantation? You've not heard a thing like that before? Hey, I was invited to watch somebody on TV a few days ago. Don't let me call his name. I think he's one of the current prophets that are gaining attention in Lagos. Agbadura sori re ogun aye re yo wa fo lo gbogbo kini to se gbogbo awon to de amungi awon to yo lenu gbogbo won agba won danu. In fact, the way he's saying it, you know, he has memorized a lot of things. I said, this is drama. Holy Hollywood or Nollywood. Maybe this one is Churchwood. Don't let anybody deceive you. In Sheruvin, Sele, Catholic, and some others, they use censers to burn incense. Say, which one are you doing? Say, it's day for Bible. That the Bible mentions incense does not mean you should burn incense. Is there suicide in the Bible? Does the Bible mention suicide? Come on.
Yes.
Does that mean you should go and commit suicide? Does the Bible talk about murder? Maybe you're forgetting the case of Cain and Abel. Does that mean you should kill your brother? That something is written in the Bible does not mean you should go and do it. You need to understand what the Bible is, the message the Bible is trying to pass across through that. We are to pray. That altar stood for Jesus. That was why it was made of akikai wood overlaid with gold. I've told you that akikai wood is the wood that does not corrupt. I don't know if there is any wood that could be better than akikai wood in the whole world. Put it in the water. Put it anywhere. It remains the same, akikai wood. And it stands for the body of Jesus Christ, the humanity of Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son of God. Then the gold that covered it is talking about the two natures of Jesus. Jesus is both God and man. The only person that is like that. Among all, no angel is like that. No man is like that. God is not like that. Holy Spirit is not like that. The only one that is having this dual nature, man and God in one, is Jesus Christ. And that is why all the wood that were used to represent him, all the material were used to represent him, has the two things. It's either you have wood and brass or wood and gold. Gold stands for his deity. The wood stands for his humanity. And it's only through him our prayer, like incense, will go to the presence of God. Let me show you the positioning once again of the golden altar of incense. The golden altar of incense, as it can be seen here, look at it, is directly before the veil. The veil is the material that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. Don't forget that the Shekinah glory of God that rested on the tabernacle was not resting on the roof. It actually penetrated the roof and goes in between the two cherubim to rest on the mercy seat. So on the Day of Atonement, the high priest will actually come in very close contact with that glory. He was not permitted to go there often, once a year, after he has made a lot of sacrifice. But he will not get in there until he has crossed the altar of incense. So this is telling us that as we are in the presence of God and we pray, our prayer goes directly into the Holy of Holies. The veil that separated these two places was rent to two, removed in Jesus Christ. Now, the Israelites could not go in there. Their priests could not go in there. Only the high priest could go in there. And he could not go to represent every day or every week or every month. He was to go there to represent them once in a year. But today, any of us, all of us, can go boldly there. Not every day, but every time. You can choose to live there. You can go with your mat and cuckoo sleep there. You will not die. If the high priest passed the normal time he's supposed to spend there, his dead body will be brought out. Glory to God. Another thing this thing is teaching us is that Jesus actually got for us a lot of things. Religionists don't understand. Even the so-called Pentecostals, some of them still don't understand that every child of God is having direct access to the presence of God. How many children of God are having access to the presence of God? Every child of God. You can go boldly to the presence of God and say, Abba, Father, and expect to receive response. You don't have to knock the door of a pastor each time, a prophet each time. You can go there yourself and make your demand, and you will be accepted. You will be received. And you will receive response, because God will respond to you as a child of God. You go to Holy Mary or the image of Paul. You don't even have to go through your pastor, your mommy or your daddy. You can go there yourself. The least of us can knock at that gate and receive response. This is the promise of God. And these are some of the things the tabernacle of Moses are meant to teach us. I wish we take advantage of this and go in there all the time. You don't need to memorize anything to go there. You know, these days are the days of a prayer point. Our funini koko adua meje. You'll be given 7 prayer points. When it is exactly 12 midnight, you will say, Ori mi o, Ori mi o, Ori mi o, 3 times. Ori ya mi o, Ori ya mi o, 3 times. Then Jesus Christ, 3 times. Everybody say, Wayo. Gimmick. Let me hear you say, gimmick. Wayo. GBT. Huh? Chicken. You like chicken. They are, how are you? If you see the way church people, they carry this thing. They quickly carry, as they are dictating it to them on the TV, they quickly carry their Bible. Any pastor who doesn't know how to manufacture prayer points now is not a, it's not a jiki jiki pastor. Don't let anybody manufacture any prayer point for you. Don't let anybody manufacture any prayer point for you. If you want to pray, pray. Don't you know your need? Eh? Most of those prayer points will carry you away from your real need to something that doesn't concern you. And those who are using it to make food for their family, they are eating and living big. With the prayer point they give to people and they collect money. If you don't know how to talk, but you only stammer, go in there and stammer. It will hear you. Who stammer more than Moses? Huh? But don't play with that man. In the whole of Israel, he was the only one who could knock at the gate of heaven, the gate of God. But today, the list of believers is better than him. In case you don't know. In case you don't know. The Bible tells us that the greatest prophet of the Old Testament was John the Baptist. And the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Somebody say, was John the Baptist not in the kingdom of God? He was in the Old Testament. It was after Jesus died on the cross that the New Testament started. They long, they desire, they thirsted, they wish that they were able to be part of the New Testament. The Bible says these things were reserved for us and they should not be perfected without us. Glory to God. You are better than John the Baptist. Tell your neighbor. Say it again. There's somebody who says, how many miracles have I performed? Are you a Catholic man? You are not a saint in Catholic until you die. You can live your life the way you live it. Then when you die, the church authority will now sit down to canonize you. They will now read your history. And they will read your history. One of the qualifications before you can be a saint, you must have performed at least 2 miracles in your lifetime. They newly canonized some people about maybe some months ago. So among the qualification, you must have performed at least 2 miracles plus some other criteria. Then you become a saint. From that day, if anybody will call your name, they will now call your name Saint. Saint Ori. Saint Ogute. You don't go. Saint Ogute. Saint Mother Komolafe. You now become a saint. They may even tell some lies to help you manufacture the miracle, in case you don't have the new miracle they ascribe to you. But can I tell you the truth? The Bible tells us that John the Baptist was the greatest of all the Old Testament prophets, but the least in the New Testament is greater than John the Baptist. Do you know that John the Baptist, the greatest Old Testament saint, Old Testament believer, performed no miracle? Not one. The Bible says it. The same Bible that says he was the greatest. If he was greater, he was greater than Elijah, and the rest of them. He was the greatest. And yes, he did not perform any miracle. What made him great? He was the forerunner of the Messiah. Abraham would have loved to be that, but he didn't have that opportunity. David would have loved to be that. He didn't have that opportunity. Go and read Luke chapter 1. Oh, time. Luke chapter 1. And hear what his father said the day he was born. Let me. I finished the teaching. He said, you start sermon. I can do my sermon anytime. I've been an ogre. You agree where I know you agree. I can see it on your faces. In Luke chapter 1, hear what his father said the day he was born. Okay, that should be Luke chapter.
is chapter 1. When the tongue of his father loosed at the time they were trying to name him. I start from verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophet, which had been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he will grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. And thou, child." After he has done that prophecy, he now faced the baby, as if the baby could hear, and say, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has fitted us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and was strong in spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. That was John the Baptist. So if you are asking about his greatness is in the fact that he was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was actually in between the old and the new covenant. But he could not make it into the real new covenant. He only saw it bye-bye. I said, "Behold the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world." But as he was in the prison, he called his disciples and said, "Go and meet Jesus." I said, "The thing I talk about you, not true." "I said you are the Messiah, as I was told, but I want to be double sure. Not true." And Jesus sent back that, "Tell him what you see, that the lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the dumb are talking. But blessed is that man that will not be stumbled by me." John then agreed that he had said the truth and surrendered himself. And they killed him. And he went to heaven gloriously. He was the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, but he performed not one miracle. Don't let anybody use miracle to deceive you. Ability to perform miracle is not a proof that anybody belongs to God. Satan performed miracles. Maybe you will go back and read that our small booklet, The Miracles. Stand up and let us pray. I wish we remember that song of yesterday, though it's a Yoruba song, but it's in agreement with this teaching. Who can remember the song we learned newly yesterday? Etumbere. Are you sure it's correct? Take it again. You know, Egba, Ekiti, Ijebu, Oyo, they were all Oduduwa children. So when they were in their family in Ilefe, they speak the same language. But as they scattered to various places, the language became corrupted little by little. Until when Odo is talking now, Egba will be listening very well before he's able to hear. The same thing happened to songs. When we learn a song here, by the time you get to Benin, they have Benilized it. When you get to Ibadan, they have Ibadanized it. In such a way that there will be some adjustment. If you remove the O, there is one hole in that song. If you remove the O, you have lost the sweetness of the song. Shall we go again? 1, 2, 3, go.
Yesu ni mo dibo fun, Yesu ni mo tele o, Jésus le lubalami oya Jésus ni modi profond Jésus ni modi mio Jésus le lubalami Jésus ni modi profond Jésus ni modi mio Jésus le lubejami Jésus ni modi profond Jésus ni modi mio Jésus le lubesemi Jésus ni modi profond Jésus ni modi mio Jésus le lubejami senge Jésus ni modi profond Jésus ni modi mio Jésus le lubejami.
The meaning is Jesus. How did we interpret that last yesterday? It is Jesus. For my Jesus, for Jesus I cast my foot. Abi. Mm-hmm. Jesus I will follow. Jesus is my savior, healer, protector, this, that. We wanted to sing it in English yesterday, we could not. So that we not lose our teeth, we quickly stay with English. Stay with Yoruba. Maybe by and by we'll know the English. But let's sing it once more. 1, 2, 3, go.
Jesus ni mo di bofo. Jesus ni mo tale. Jesus lo lu bala. Oh yeah. Jesus ni mo di bofo. Jesus ni mo tale. Jesus lo lu bala mi.
You know that all these things God is teaching us, God expects us to keep them in our hearts. And he expects these things to guide our thinking, our attitude. Then when people come with strange ideas, he expects this knowledge in us to help us to reject strange ideas and hold on to what is right. Father, register these things upon the tables of my heart that I will not be able to forget. So when I'm to make use of it, it will be readily available to me. Begin to pray like that for yourself. When I'm to make use of it, it will be available to me.
Jesus' name we pray. Our dear Lord in heaven, we bless your name once again this morning. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity we have to gather your presence again to hear from you. Father, receive our thanks in Jesus' name. Thank you for this precious teaching that are making known unto us. We believe that you have a purpose for giving us this understanding, and Father, we pray that let it be fulfilled in our lives in Jesus' name. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that everything you are telling us this time, Father, help us never to forget them, but to store them in our hearts and use them at the right time to be able to profit with it. Father, help us in Jesus' name. Every effort of the devil to steal this word from our heart so that it will not profit us, I cancel in Jesus' name. Our Lord in heaven, I pray that let all this teaching, Father, be an instrument that will help us and prepare us, Father, even for your kingdom at last in Jesus' name, so that the purpose for which you are teaching us all these things, Father, will really be fulfilled in our life at last. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you because you have answered our prayer. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.